Police revealed that the body of 12-year-old Jacqueline Torres Garcia was discovered at an abandoned home in New Britain earlier this month. But Jacqueline was actually killed a year ago. It was Farmington police who revealed that when the family was living in Farmington, Jacqueline was believed to have been heavily abused and starved, and that she actually died in the fall of 2024. They moved in March of 2025 to New Britain, and whenever these cases come up, of course, the number one question is, how in the world did this happen? But the second is, how did this child fall through the cracks of basically everyone? Right. And so there are questions about DCF. Once again, there are questions about homeschooling and our systems in place for Connecticut. And are we doing enough to protect kids? So for these conversations, we've been having really these chats with State Senator Jason Perillo, and he represents Shelton and also has been, you know, has been on the committee for children here in Connecticut. He's the ranking senator. And has really been, I think, outspoken, especially in this last year. We had the Waterbury case of a man allegedly held captive for more than 20 years. And this was at the forefront for the legislative session. Homeschooling families were certainly under attack, it felt like, after what happened in Waterbury. And now it sort of feels like it's happening again. But I want to have open conversation about both DCF and also just our protocols in place for both public school systems and homeschooling. And so, Senator Perillo, thank you for coming on and, again, having these very difficult conversations. We appreciate it.
No, Melissa, thank you.
Where do you want to start? I mean, with this situation, you know, both DCF and the lack of reporting for, first of all, I will say both New Britain and I think Farmington Public Schools, they're under attack right now. And how did nobody notice that this young girl was not enrolled in the schools? According to state records, it looks like the correct paperwork was filed over a year ago that she was not going to be attending public school and would be homeschooled. So now homeschooling systems are being questioned. But of course, DCF as well being questioned in this situation. So I don't know where you want to start.
Yeah. So let's turn back clock. And you and I, like you said, have talked about this so many times. So we started months ago with the terrible Waterbury situation where, you know, DCF, things dropped through the cracks. We've got this terrible situation in New Britain now that you just mentioned. And actually, we had another just recent situation with a one-month-old killed. So at the end of the day, the common thread in all of these is the involvement of DCF. And the debate really doesn't change. These are terrible, terrible new things that have emerged in the last few days, but the debate doesn't change, right? And the risk hasn't changed, because here's the real risk. That lawmakers, you know, senators, state representatives focus in on, you know, one thing, tunnel vision. So, you know, the flavor of the month has been homeschooling. Focus in on that and then forget the fact that the common thread in all of these instances is the Department of Children and Families. And you and I have said this, I think we agree, this is not about the people who work at DCF. This is about decades of systemic failures at the agency. You know, and you and I talked about a recent audit that came out of the work of DCF, situations where they've lost track of children in their own system. They can't file paperwork to keep up. They can't coordinate with law enforcement in the cases where children are missing. And again, this isn't about the people. When these problems persist over and over the course of years, you have to take a step back and say, okay, this agency systemically is doing something wrong. So we as lawmakers cannot lose sight of that. We cannot lose track of that common thread that there are systemic problems at the Department of Children and Families. And we, as legislators, need to do whatever we can and offer whatever we can in terms of services and resources and assistance so that these things don't happen at DCF anymore.
So, Senator Perillo, do we have a good understanding of the responsibility of DCF? And again, they are not really commenting yet. It's all under investigation. But as far as this situation is concerned, and again, I don't know all the past run-ins with this family in particular. But we know with Waterbury, there were questions in regards to DCF had kind of checked in, had done things for about 5 years, and then really their services didn't seem to be needed anymore. Now, I don't know with this case in particular, but do we have a good understanding of when we say there are systematic failures, you know, what exactly their responsibility is, and have we done a good enough job at the state level to make sure this department is following protocols properly or have the proper protocols in place?
Well, so there are two questions there. And the first one, as you said, is do we have a proper understanding of what DCF's responsibilities are and whether or not they're able to meet them? So as you remember, months after the Waterbury incident, I and a few other leaders of the Children's Committee met with DCF, met with the commissioner, and she walked us through what had happened. Now, as you recall, like a week or two later, she actually resigned.
Yep.
But during that conversation, I'll be honest, it was pretty clear to me that the staff at DCF did everything they could do at the time within the letter of the law. I truly believe that they did. And since then, some of those laws have been changed, which is good. It's a start, right? But we're still waiting for a report that, quite honestly, DCF wasn't really even going to release.
If not for you pushing.
And to ask them to do so, correct. And it's whereby they investigate what they did, what they didn't do, not just in this instance, but in others as well. And then once they've done that work, the legislature can get to work and do the things that we need to do, again, to give them the tools that they need, whether they be financial resources, whether they need to be changes in statute. But until we get some information from DCF in writing,
so we really don't know.
We're kind of just guessing.
Right. So we really don't know what the we know there are issues, but we don't actually know what the exact issues are and how to fix them because DCF hasn't made that incredibly clear.
That's exactly right. And what I don't understand is it's clear that DCF has looked at their work, has looked at what they've done. At least they did in the Waterbury case. They made that clear to me. I was pretty pleased, quite honestly, with what they said in terms of the work that they did. But what is so hard about putting it on paper and sharing it with the residents of Connecticut? Is it like some sort of kryptonite? We can't document something? I just, quite honestly, Melissa, don't understand what the objection is. Get everything on paper in one place so everybody understands it. Everybody agrees with it. So everybody has a sense of what, at least what DCF thinks they need. Mm-hmm. To do their jobs more effectively.
We're chatting with State Senator Jason Perillo, who sits on the Committee on Children here in Connecticut, is a ranking senator. And we're talking about yet another tragic situation in our state where there are now questions around DCF, which we've certainly talked about many times, including today. And there are questions about reporting for, honestly, for both public schools as well as homeschooling. I've got two statements here from both the New Britain and Farmington Public Schools, who acknowledge the fact that Carla Garcia, the mother of Jacqueline, filed what she needed to, the official notification of withdrawal out of New Britain School District in August of 2024. And Governor Lamont now saying, when kids are not going to school every day, sometimes we lose track of them. I want to work again with the legislature to see how we can do a better job of making sure some of these kids that aren't going to school every day, almost like an early warning system. And, you know, Senator Perillo, you and I talked about this during the most recent legislative session, the fact that homeschooling families certainly feel under attack when this happens because there are a lot of really legitimate homeschooling families out there doing really exceptional things for their kids, by the way. What's interesting is I knew we were going to talk about this. And so I had reached out to the Connecticut Office of the Child Advocate. Interestingly enough, they wrote a statement saying on the issue of homeschooling in this case, we know from previous investigations that some parents use Connecticut's complete lack of oversight of homeschooled children to withdraw their children from school, isolate them, shield themselves from reports to our Children Welfare Agency, and neglect or abuse their children. This is a known policy issue that the state must address. What do you think of that?
So I think that the Office of the child advocate needs to remember that they're advocating for all children. And among them are the thousands who are being homeschooled properly and lovingly and effectively by their families. That said, let's just be practical here. And I've been in the legislature for a long time. And something happens to a legislator when they get elected. Many. All of a sudden, they think they're smart. And in some cases, they start to think that everybody else is stupid. So here's the risk to the homeschooling community. That legislators who really don't know anything about homeschooling start to make decisions and pass legislation regarding homeschooling. And I see it happen all the time where the experts are not at the table. And that's when things go sideways. So, I don't want to see the homeschooling community harmed in this process, because there's going to be some sort of legislation. You know, senators and representatives who want control over all families, all education, and who are basically anti-homeschooling, they're going to do something here. And there is no guarantee that those legislators will hear from the experts. The experts, by the way, are the parents of the children being homeschooled. There's no guarantee that these legislators will listen to them, but I can guarantee that if the parents aren't at the table, their voices will not be heard.
And
will not be understood.
Agreed. I think that there should not be anything without having experts, as you mentioned, at the table. I think you have to have homeschooling parents, families, they have to be. It's the same thing I feel with public schools when we make major decisions and you have to have educators at the table. I mean, it blows my mind when that isn't the case. I guess my question, though, is even the idea of saying anti-homeschool. And the only reason I could say that is from my own standpoint as a reporter, I remember asking you the questions about this during the legislative session. And I had a lot of homeschooling families write emails to me, very upset with my questions towards you, and called me anti-homeschool, which is not true, actually. I've looked into homeschooling for my own son before. I actually am I admire people who do homeschooling. I think kids thrive homeschooling, sometimes better than they do in the public school system. So to be called anti-homeschool is rough. But I think we should be able to have an open conversation. What I don't love is that it has to come out of tragedy that we point the fingers at homeschooling families. But I mean, when you look at, for example, you and I, the last time we talked about this, Connecticut had more lax protocols in place compared to every other state in New England, for example, who also have very high education scores. But it is interesting to me that at the public school system, we've got all these assessments we constantly look at just to see if your child is academically doing well. But we don't require anything like that for homeschooling, that it, to my knowledge, to that degree. And again, I don't think you have to do standardized testing every year, but I don't know why we wait for these awful situations to say, oh, we got to fix homeschooling. I mean, to me, this does sound like, could we be having more just yearly reporting that I don't think would turn people away from still doing homeschooling, but is a conversation that should be had, to your point, with experts at the table.
Yeah, and I think that, to your point, regarding sort of the reactivity in situations like this, so we focus in on homeschooling because that's what a lot of legislators want to do, right? And again, as I said when we first started this conversation a few minutes ago, the real risk is that we lose sight of the bigger picture,
right?
And that we don't do the things within DCF that need to be done, and then we sort of point the finger at and
1,000% agree with you.
But let's not forget, this is a system-wide issue. So when legislators say, oh, it's a homeschooling problem, let's not forget the tens of thousands of children who fall through the cracks of our own public education system every year.
Agreed.
Who are reading way behind grade level, who are chronically absent from school. If we're really going to, and this is a message to the Office of the Child Advocate, if we're really going to get serious about child safety and child education and making sure that our kids are prepared safely and effectively for life as adults then we've got to look at the entire system, and we can't point the finger at what is, generally speaking, a very small subset of those children being educated in the state of Connecticut in a homeschool setting. Mm. We've got to look at the entire system. So to say that, you know, this is a homeschooling problem,
I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong. I agree with you. I agree with you. And I do. But I think, you know, it, you know, when you hear two public school systems say, you know, everything was filed correctly, what more could they have done? To your point, Senator Perillo, does that then fall on DCF? And once again, it goes back to that initial question. What is DCF's responsibility in this situation? Right. So it just feels like a very round robin situation. And I think it feels like it's happening. You know, now this is at least the second, third, fourth, I don't know, feel like case just for 2025, where these same conversations keep coming up and we just don't really see anything but the finger pointing, to your point. I appreciate you having the conversation and certainly look forward to seeing, you know, more details of this case come out and see what the conversations are going to look like up in Hartford. It's important that we keep an eye on it. Thank you so much.